All right, good afternoon. I officially call this meeting to order. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we do have a quorum. All five board members are present. Public comment on the agenda items is what I have first. And the first person to speak will be Mr. Steve McGrath. Welcome, sir.
There we go. Sorry about that. My name is Steve McGrath. I've recently returned to Cambria after 30 years away. I've also recently retired as general manager of a special district, and I am a CSDA certified special district administrator, and I'm here to talk about the search for a new general manager. You're looking for what the community might like to see, and I would like to put in a plug for continued membership in CSDA and for the CSDA staff and board to avail themselves of all of the training opportunities present through the CSDA. The certifications that can come from that in transparency and in governance for the board and in administration for the staff. I'd like to see that the general manager has a commitment to professional development of his staff, and I think that that's an increasingly important thing, that we make sure that in any organization there are people coming up from below, ready to take over the senior positions, maybe not in this organization, maybe in another organization. Maybe we are, in fact, training people for their next career move somewhere else. But we can rest assured that others are doing exactly the same, and we can steal their senior-level people, too, as the time comes. So I'd just like to put that plug in for making sure that, any new staff member has that deep commitment to the professional development of the staff, the board, and the public and the district will benefit from that. Thanks very much.
Very good. Thank you. Mike Lyons, followed by Christine Hendricks.
Thank you. I don't wish to nitpick for sure, and I don't want to waste anybody's time. But I was looking through this printout of the 3A agenda item, and I noticed in the, especially in the red areas that are underlined, not the ones that are scratched through, there are a number of grammatical errors. So I don't want to argue. I don't really have any argument with the points that are made, but there is a mixture of verbs and nouns and things like that that seems like it should need to be go over with a fine-tooth comb. And we have, since we have at least one board member who is an English major, and the lady behind me with the hat always seems to know. Oh, now she's gone. There she is. That lady seems to know all about grammar. I volunteer their services.
Thank you. Christine Hendricks.
Good Welcome. Afternoon. Thank you. I have some suggestions on that same red underlined definition language in the agenda. The definition is worded there, describes former GM Gruber, an autocratic personality with power concentrated in one individual. As has been noted, that general manager was hired by a board with an agenda to carry out that agenda at all costs. Now that Cambria has a new board with, I hope, a broader view of its responsibilities to the community, that definition should be more general. May I ask that the board, again, perhaps with the help of its resident wordsmith and English teacher, rework that definition before you go further with the search. Remove the adjectives such as strong leadership, highly responsible, considerable, and replace them with phrases such as works from general directives or broadly defined missions of the organization as a whole. make clear that this person works for the board carrying out board policies. The directors are responsible to the voters, and they are the appropriate source of the general manager's authority. As the board considers the definition, please consider whether Cambria needs a general manager at all. As the board considers whether Cambria needs a district engineer, again, a position to carry out the previous board's agenda rather than one actually needed by the district. Could water and wastewater department heads handle those services, reporting to the board at regular meetings? The fire department functions well that way. Let's consider whether the compensation now being given to one individual could be better spent, and perhaps some could even be saved, on those departments and an administrator who would be responsible for staffing, payroll, the databases, the PROS interface, community issues, PR, meetings, and reports. Can we think about this? The issue of living in the district may not be a legal requirement, but it can be addressed by eliminating the generous, and some might say excessively generous, car and transportation benefits that were in the past GM's contract. Other questions that have been suggested? What research did you do on the position prior to applying? What makes you interested in working for CCSD? What does the first year on the job of CCSD GM look like to you? What goals might you set in the first year? Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Tina Dickinson, followed by Crosby Schwartz. Yes, ma'am. Crosby, followed by Ms. Bittenhausen.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the board. I haven't really prepared anything in advance, but I just wanted to express an opinion that one question that would be interesting to ask a potential candidate would be that the state that the CCSD owns and is responsible for maintaining X number of acres of open space and forest preserve areas, what background or special experience do you have that would be useful in being the overall responsible manager for these open space properties? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bettenhausen?
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I enjoyed dropping by the Finance Committee meeting this morning, the Standing Committee, and was fortunate enough to find that President Lincoln closed the library today, and therefore I couldn't work there on the fish stuff for tomorrow for second grade. And so I had to go to the restaurant, and I had some pretty good clam chowder, but then I had the dessert, and I highly recommend to all of you, and I'm serious, all of you, unless you can't stand chocolate, go to this restaurant, the first one on the other side of the street there, and have the one dessert that they have, the only dessert that they have. I won't tell you any more about it. Now, to the agenda, however, I want to apologize to you, certainly, because one of you directors told me I was disrespectful in my correspondence with you. And I certainly did not mean to be disrespectful. I found it somewhat disrespectful to me to have such a confusing agenda item in its print. Now we're equal. I would like you very much, please, not to have a meeting until you have a fully prepared packet that makes sense to you and to the public. But I'd like to refer you back to my email of January, which I forwarded to you again and have not heard from any of you about. But I'd like to refer you back to my terse angle on the whole general manager issue. I ask that you have a solid public discussion by the board, you, of what you mean by authority and public interest. I find it continuously, ongoingly, forever confusing as to where you understand and how you understand authority that you attribute to yourselves as holding and that which you give the general manager. Consistently unclear. But forget that. Have a general discussion so the public can hear what you mean by it. And that would be very nice as a prerequisite to developing a job description. I would also like you to define two words now, especially after reading the agenda packet for today. And my apologies, I know everybody's overworked, so I don't mean to dump on overworked people. But in the agenda package for today, there's one word that certainly needs definition and has none, and that is the word lead, or leader, or leadership. And fairly consistently, it's used in place of the word management. So I would like you to define for us public what you five directors, honorable public assistant, servants that you are, what do you mean by manage and lead? And how does that relate to your intense, ongoing public discussion of authority and responsibility in relationship, by the way, to accountability and oversight? Sounds just as general as I often do, but if you want me to give you the numbers pertinent to that, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gazin, you're prepared now? Okay.
Thank you for allowing me that. Tina Dickinson, Cambria. First of all, President Pearson, I've been asked to ask a question on behalf of another member of the community who was unable to be here today. So I'm asking if I could ask that question and not be taken from my 3 minutes. This is a question from Tom Laycock, who could not attend today's meeting, so I am reading this on his behalf. Here's the question. And this would be to a candidate. In addition to your managerial skills in personnel, finances, and interagency dealings, what is your knowledge of the key functional elements that comprise a community water system, including collection, distribution, and sewage treatment? Please describe. And I would be more than happy to submit that to you, President Pearson, if you wish.
Yes, please do.
All right. Now, we're at 2 minutes and 3 seconds, and I'd like to have my own comments, please. Thank you very much. So I did present all of you with 11 points that I came up with at the January 30th meeting, and when I look at the agenda today on page 9, general manager interview questions, I do not see one single item that I presented to you, all five board directors, in the questions. And what is very disturbing to me is that the first, the second, the third questions for candidates or candidate to be interviewed for this position are all pretty much related to the issues that it seemed were apparent with the former general manager. For example, number one, can you give us an example of a difficult interaction or conflict you have had with a supervisor or subordinate and how you might handle a similar situation differently or same in the future? Two, the second one, please describe a situation where you resolve complex issues among groups of individuals, perhaps the public, in which opposing alternatives were proposed by equally strong support. Or tell me about a personnel situation that got out of control. How did you handle it? What is a balance sheet and what purpose does it serve? My goodness gracious, can't we do better than that? Those are just three or four. I would think one thing we'd like to know maybe why the candidate, he or she, is leaving the position they currently hold. I think that's important. But I'm going to go over, I'll go over that. Why are you seeking, in other words, why are you seeking this position? Have you looked at or been made aware of the issues facing the Cambria Community Services District? And if so, what can you bring to the table that will help to address and hopefully resolve these issues? I think it's really important that they know what they're facing before they're commandeered in a way into a position that maybe they'll be regretful of. It needs to be totally transparent. Again, I will reiterate a couple of the points I made. A candidate for general manager must demonstrate full accountability for all reporting to government agencies and compliance with the rules and regulations and the deadlines for those reports. And that's something we've been incredibly remiss in doing. And, of course, a new general manager must observe and adhere to all Brown Act requirements, as must all of you. I did see that one of the points I had on January 30th that I was concerned about was advertising it in the local paper or local papers. I saw that that was done. I have a question as to how many applications have been received so far.
So far we have 21 resumes.
21.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
And has anyone been interviewed at this point?
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. So I agree with Ms. Bettenhausen. I think this was really poorly put together. I don't think this meeting should have been held today. You're not prepared for it. I don't know that you really listened to those of us that I thought made some pretty good comments on the 30th. I hope that there will be more review of how you go about this, and I'm guessing that that's what today's meeting is partially about. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my comments.
Thank you. All right. Let's start off with the job position requirements. The information that was included in the packet is basically where we ended up in October, I believe, or in November, with the old board, where we were working on the job description, and we came to an abrupt halt waiting for the new board, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to, you know, rewrite the thing here, okay, but I would like to get everybody's overall opinion on things that they think should or should not be in there and things that are missing and stuff. So Director Steidel first.
I had some difficulty going through because it was movement from one type of requirement or skill set to another, and there seemed to be some replication as you went on, and so
yeah.
What I did for myself, and I'm more than happy to share these copies with the board and right now, but I actually took all of those points and I divided them up into categories, operational, administration, personnel, staff, financial, and general. And it helped me significantly to understand some of the processes, so I'm happy to provide some copies of that to folks to see if that might be of some assistance. And I actually have some and I probably gave away all of them now, so I don't have one. Thank you. The definitions and summaries, I really didn't go there because I didn't know what was intended to be accomplished with the two different statements that were so similar. So it was just part of what the essential duties and responsibilities area was in this. And I think perhaps by segregating the different kinds of skill sets, it helps concentrate it to one particular area and possibly would allow us to be more succinct in what we define and to get some of the replication out of the process. So I don't know that it's necessary to go through and doing anything with it right now, as you suggested, that but it might be a tool that could be used as we go offline to do that.
Sure. Again, basically what was included in the packet was a cut and paste that we had put together, and that's why it was kind of jumbled up and there was a lot of duplication and that kind of thing, because we were basically asking the board to look at all of the points that were in there and either, say, eliminate some and, you know, maybe say to others, yes, absolutely, we want those in there. So, Director Rice.
I do want to Thank you for mentioning the fact that we did pretty much stop dead in the water because we wanted to allow for the new board members to have input, which is exactly what I mean. It's an unfinished term paper. If it were back the old days, this would be still a handwritten document. So this is a very rough draft, and I understand the confusion from the public, but we brought this process out of closed session into an open public meeting for purposes of having this discussion about what should go in the job description. And the reason it seems unfinished is because it is, because the new board wanted to have this discussion as part of a public process and get your input on it rather than just having it become yet another thing that you don't really have input on. Those two paragraphs, I think we keep one. I think that's part of where we were. We were trying to decide which of the language worked better or not, and this goes to the other question, which was about the language. This hasn't even been put through an initial edit, much less a final edit. Very glad to have the new board members participating. I'm very glad that we're having this as part of a public discussion. And we do have a little bit of work needed, but I think getting input from the other directors is really important, the important part. So I'm going to stop making excuses for how we got to where we are, and let's move forward to get to where we need to be.
Okay, thank you. Director Howe.
Is this on? I don't sound very loud. Can you all hear me back there? It's on. The green light's on. Okay. There we are. Yes, I kind of share something that was raised in the comment period. The term leadership, I'm a little troubled about. I really believe that the general manager's function is to implement the board's policies. I do not believe the general manager should be leading the board. So I would prefer that wording not be in there. I understand what's the intent. For example, leads the district by example to achieve strong operational performance. Well, certainly the concept is good, but I'm just not altogether pleased with the term lead. Now, in that, it's a little harmless in that situation. However, as we go down a little bit, I'm looking under essential duties and responsibilities for anyone who has a copy of this. I have a difficulty with establishing a long-term vision of future district performance. I can see where a general manager could assist a board in doing that, but again, I don't believe that should be the function of the general manager. I'm on page 4 of the packet, number 2, under essential duties and responsibilities. Again, I think could be worded in a way so that it didn't put the responsibility on the general manager to formulate the vision, but rather to bring forward whatever the board has decided, especially in view of the fact that one board may change from another board and the direction may change, and that's always a possibility. Similarly, on the next bullet down, number 1, plan, organize, and coordinate, that one. Development, implementation of goals, mission statement, objectives, and policies is good. I don't know about the development, the term developing goals, mission statement, and responsibilities. Perhaps we could say assisting in or something, but I don't see it as the general manager's responsibility. Apropos of that, in at least one of the resumes, one of the cover letters said that this person would lead the district and take it to the next level. That disturbs me a little bit. I mean, we might want someone to take us to some kind of a level, but I think we should be the ones who determine the public should be the ones who determine what that level is. So those are kind of the areas where I'm having a little difficulty.
Good, thank you. That's good input. Agreed. We need to make a distinction between the goals and mission of the overall district and that of the staff, because he should develop staff goals to be in alignment with the... Yeah, good. Good. Anyone else? Vice President Farmer. Go ahead.
I might as well say something. I think with regard to taking it to the next level, probably the board itself could set the example as to what that next level would be by our performance as a board, which has maybe been lacking in the past. And as I've said, recently, with this election, that this is, as far as I'm concerned, in the 32 years that I've lived here, this is the best board that we've ever had. And I think that we will take it to the next level, and which indicates to me that we will hire somebody that will have the skill set just from their own personal way of being that will be someone who is a source of encouragement to the community as well as the entire district. That's how I feel. With regard to a skill set, you know, I'm still stuck, and I just wrote these down. What I'm most concerned about from my observations in, like I say, the years that I've lived here with regard to a general manager, people that have been on the board, I want somebody that is honest, somebody that's trustworthy, that has really positive interpersonal skills, someone that's aware of their own shortcomings and is willing to take constructive criticism in those areas. Someone is basically a source of support and encouragement to staff and has cooperative relationships with all of the people that they come in contact with. And talking about a strong leader, I just think of my two favorite sports personalities, Tom Brady and Magic Johnson. And they inspired others to do their best and be their best by being the best that they could be. And that's what I feel a strong leader is. So with regard to leadership, I would want those kind of qualities in a person. Maybe I'm dreaming, but that's how I feel. Thank you.
Good, thank you. Anyone else want to attempt the leadership definition? No?
I think it's important to definitely have the clarity that the policy implementation is what the GM is hired to do, and the policy, he or she is hired to support the development of policy by the board and review of policies by the board. So I think making that distinction is important. Being a leader, there's a lot of flavors of being a leader, it seems to me, because each of us is a leader individually, and as a board, we're a leader, a single leader as a board. But then we're also looking for somebody that who knows how to be a leader, but also knows how to take direction. And that's you know, when you go back to the whole coaching paradigm, that's kind of what a good, really good coach does, is they're learning as they're leading, and they're taking direction, but they're also making sure there's a direction that we're on the right path, kind of, in a way. I don't know how you ask questions on trust. I mean,
yeah, I don't know either. But
if anybody has any ideas, I'm open.
Trust.
I mean, trust is something that you earn over time. So it's. I think we would all want somebody that's trustworthy and honest. It kind of is an over time kind of experience.
We're going to wait and take some more comments later, okay? Thank you.
The thing that I've found, and unfortunately I don't have the sheet with me, it's something I put together a while back, but based on actually the email that Ms. Betancourt had. I'm sorry, I used to work with someone named Elizabeth Betancourt, and I do that continuously. I apologize, Ms. Benhausen. I was interested in the idea of what that defines, and sometimes when I run across that type of circumstance, I literally go to the thesaurus in Word, and I will put the word in, not only to get the synonyms, but to get the antonyms. And sometimes that's kind of a really interesting exercise to do, to find other words to describe it and to help to fine-tune what that is. And I developed a list of those for myself based on those words, and I unfortunately did not bring that with me today. But I will share that out the next time there's the opportunity to do so, but it might be something that would be of interest for others to try also.
Can we get that in the minutes? If Director Steidel makes that available, can we get that as part of the minutes? That would make sense. Then everyone could see what she was talking about. All right, Director Howell.
Kind of pursuing this topic a little further, but in a slightly different way. I don't recall where I saw it. It was either in this description or in one of the resumes. The idea that the GM might act as the public face of the district. I think I've heard that used before. I have trouble with that also. Unless the general manager can be trusted to follow the exact direction of the board in that regard, I'm not sure that this is a function that we want to make part of the general manager's job description. It's sufficient, I think, a sufficiently large job to manage this district. Seeing in my short term that I've been involved, I've been rather floored with the variety of different issues and the different functions that people are serving. So I see that management here is a serious problem in and of itself, that it requires a certain talent to manage this is a small district, but it is nevertheless complex, and I think it requires that. But to have someone who is also tasked or thinks they are tasked with presenting the district policies to the public or in some other way being the face of the district, I really don't think is appropriate. And this is one area where our previous general manager, I felt, was perhaps transgressing a bit. So I think that some kind of verbiage may need to be included, or some clarification as to what the relationship between the general manager and the public is, and what level of information the general manager can be sharing with members of the public, either individually or public groups. So it's just an area that, and I'm not sure how to resolve it, but I have some trouble with this problem.
In looking at more transparency, I would differ with you a little bit, because I think the general manager going to groups, having town halls, and getting out in front of different organizations like the Forest Committee and FFRP and the Rotary and the Chamber of Commerce allows him to update the public and get the information out on the facts as to what's going on in the district. I don't expect that person to be talking about policy or any of that kind of stuff, but if he can just update people on a more regular basis as to what is going on, I think that is the public face that I would like to see a new general manager do. Okay? Again, he shouldn't be out there saying we should or should not have a new wastewater treatment plant. He should be out there saying we are currently hiring a consultant to tell us whether we should be doing something like that. You know, giving an update on where the district is on certain aspects. And I think that would be an important thing for that person to be doing, okay?
I agree in that regard, and I guess the face of the public face, I put more towards the idea of not policy. I didn't assume that policy would be associated with all, but that they have the the professionalism and maturity to represent themselves and the board appropriately in public environments, particularly when there's an interface with public agencies like the Coastal Commission or the Regional Water Quality Control Board or those kinds of things, where there's a need to bring information to one of those resources, that they have the capacity to deliver it well.
May
yes,
I then
Director Howe.
I see your point, and I do think that in that sense, as described, in particular, what's going on with the district now, in other words, and what initiatives are in place, that kind of thing, and of course, interacting with regulatory bodies, very important. Where I'm a little concerned is information about possible plans or thoughts of the future or where the board might be going when it's presented to like one segment of the community. Now, I might feel differently if any information that is given to the public is available to all of the public. That would be, I'm still a little have some problems, but at least accept that. But where I really don't want to see is correspondence or other things going back and forth between the general manager and one segment of the community. That I really feel is, and it needs to be, it can be phrased in a positive way. I don't think one wishes to be negative about this, but in terms of what the manager's duties are, I think it could be phrased in a positive sense and still avoid that issue.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree. Vice President Farmer.
I would say that the general manager is not there to be a salesman. He's there to be someone who provides information that the public can relate to as, how can we say this, that the public or any agencies realize that they're getting an honest assessment as to how things are and obtaining what it is, whatever knowledge and information they need at that moment with regard to where the district is at.
Good, thank you. Director Rice?
From this discussion, I think it's really important that we, when we're interviewing, we determine to the best of our ability, of course, if the person recognizes the difference of the two roles of the GM versus the board. Because some districts have been functioning well over a long period of time, and so there's kind of tradition in terms of who does what. I don't want to be setting a job description based on our poor experience in the past, so I don't want to overemphasize certain areas, and I also don't want to micromanage. If a stakeholder group wants the GM to come talk, the GM might request that a board member attend also, along with the GM, so then there's that kind of backup. But having that specific to the job description, I think it's critical that one of the things that we do is tease out whether the candidate is somebody who understands the difference between talking about future plans and operations and status and all that kind of thing. And I think that a lot of the candidates who will make it through to those rounds of interviews will likely be that kind of person. But, it's hard to know.
Okay, very good. Director Howell, back again.
Okay, I think some of this could be addressed via policies. Can I add something now?
Sure.
With that.
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing anything, even in the resumes either, about giving me any sense as to the attitude that the general manager might have towards our forest and towards conservation. I think perhaps there should be something in our job description that says something about an appreciating, an appreciation for Cambria's unique environment or something to that, so that I really do think we need to have somebody who not only knows the development side of things, which many of our applicants do, but that they also have a clear understanding and sympathy for the conservation side of things as well.
Good point. Very good.
I'm not sure that
Good.
I'm not sure that kind of while that is one of my top priorities in determining which candidates are appropriate, I'm not sure that having that in the job description is necessary. It is a critical quality that I think is important as we're looking at these candidates, that if they don't have that, I'm sorry, you go into the circular file. But in terms of being in the job description, that seems, without having a general, I mean, I guess you could put it in the summary, that, but you would also want to maybe then start to include a lot of other things that it then snowballs into what kind of qualities, you know, above and beyond the standards of somebody who's trustworthy, who has work experience, who's honest, who has, is pure of heart and, you know, sound of mind. I mean, how far do you want to go in the job description, which should be fairly dry and boring versus the qualities we're looking for?
Yeah. Dr. Stadell.
So possibly one way to approach that or bring some focus to it is there was something that I felt hadn't been included as part of the job description, along with, you know, those hard tangibles like water, wastewater, parks and recreation. Perhaps by injecting it in that way, you can engender a conversation about that kind of thing in the community's involvement and protection of that. And real property assets, the management of real property assets also, because, again, that could fall into those assets that we hold for open space. And the third one, aside from that category of information, labor negotiations. I don't remember seeing something in the description about...
The number three under essential duties, it's an okay. added one. I'm looking on page 4.
Yes. Thank you.
Because I think the initial paragraph of the summary, which we only need one of those two because they're basically duplicates.
Right.
And I think that's kind of where we stopped. We went, wait a minute, we should maybe stop doing, and, you know, if we would have taken the original job description and just tossed this work, there's some good work in here already done. So we didn't want to do it that way, which, of course, causes some issues because... That was a couple of months ago and whatever. But I think keep maintaining that summary to speak to what are the specific powers of the agency, including the parks and rec, and I think we did get that in the ad that we placed, that paragraph of the for the ad for the GM, I think could easily just be right here. I think that was kind of the initial thought, was that part of the ad is kind of sort of the first paragraph of the...
Good, thank you. Thank you. All right. I'm going to attempt to talk to Ms. Bettenhausen's questions on authority, leadership, and responsibility. Let's go with leadership first. I've read over 30 books on leadership. I went to school for 4 years to try to learn how to be a leader. And there are all kinds of leaders out there. Some of them are good, some of them aren't so good. But I think the overall aspect of a leader is that they set the tone for the organization that they lead. And whether that's a good tone or a bad tone, it depends upon the person. Joseph Stalin was a leader, but I wouldn't rank him in the people that I admire, okay? George Washington was a leader and a very quiet leader, and I would rank higher, obviously, okay? I could address that more with Dr. Bettenhausen if she'd like to have coffee with me sometime, I guess. Authority is a little bit more defined. The board, as I see it, has the authority to basically govern the district and take care of all the duties and responsibilities that we have. The board has to delegate some of that authority to the general manager so that they can do the day-to-day job that they get paid for. That's hiring and firing, that's giving daily direction and to the staff and operations and that kind of thing. And they have the authority to go ahead and do those things within the policies and the decisions made by the board. In other words, when we approve a budget for a particular year, that gives the general manager the authority to spend to those limits for those things that he has put in the budget, he or she. And that authority is then given to that person to do that. Now, as I was reminded many, many times throughout my career, you can delegate authority, but you can never delegate responsibility. So the responsibility for the budget, for the financial well-being of the district, for the operation of the district overall, still stands with the people on the board. It does not, it is never delegated to the general manager. So that's my definition, and that's where I stand. If others would like to weigh in on that, I'd be glad to hear it from them. Well, now I take some comments from there were some people that wanted to. Ms. Dickerson has filled out another sheet, and we'll go ahead and take some more public comment, and then we'll move on to talk a little bit about the interview process.
So, Tina Dickerson, on page 3, under general manager definition summary, first paragraph, I don't see in any of the language there of the responsibility of a general manager, anything related to open space, to the ranch, to our to PROS, to anything. Where is that language? Isn't the general manager also responsible ultimately for those areas that govern, that are part of the district? So I'd like to see some language that's addressing those areas. And then on the issue that Director Harrell brought up on page 4, establishes a long-term vision of future district performances. This was really discussed at length at the January 30th meeting, and I thought it was sort of determined or decided that the vision had to come from the board, not from the general manager. However, I would say that based on previous boards, they haven't done such a great job with vision. They've done a lousy job, in fact. So why would we expect that the board, maybe this board will be an improvement, I hope so, would be any better than the vision of a really smart, intelligent individual who has, I think, the right to share vision with the board, not to make the final judgment on what the board may decide, but absolutely to share her or his judgment or vision, and not just judgment, but how they foresee this district moving forward. That's really, I think, part of this position. And so to just alienate, because I haven't, like I said, where has the vision that the district's had in the past has gotten us to where we are now, and we are in one heck of a mess because of the visionaries that created what we've got. And so I don't totally agree with that. I think that this person, whoever it may be, ultimately needs to have the skills, and you have to have some vision going forward, or otherwise you're dead in the water. What good are you if you're only going to be looking at managerial skills? And the other thing is on actually, on that same page 3 in the red with the red writing, it says that the board is going will direct the manager to go to, meetings. That it's the board that is directing that the general manager to go to whatever community meetings. In the second paragraph, I believe. So, if the board is going to do that, my question would be this: when it's a board member attending NCAC or the Forest Committee, their job is to report back to us. Why can't someone from Rotary or the Chamber or whatever, Tourism Board, come to these meetings, be a liaison, and come to these meetings so that they can learn about what's going on with this in our CCSD? I know personally that Mr. Gruber went to Rabobank and met with Unlock. I didn't feel that was appropriate. But he and board members were on the schedule to speak to Unlock. Not just an example. But I don't think it's the general manager's job to be going to all of these different community groups. I do not think his job is, or her job, is to be managing the affairs of the district. They can come to a board meeting and find out for themselves like we do. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bettenhausen.
Thank you very much, President Pearson, for raising your perspective on leadership, authority, and responsibility. And I certainly have no disagreements, particularly with how you articulated that and how you understand it, because if that were put into effect, it could clarify some lines of communication and decision-making here in this district. But, well, the light's on. Can you hear me now? Thank you very much for pointing that out. I was saying that I certainly don't have any substantial disagreement with what you described, but I think that the use of that understanding of leadership, authority, and responsibility would work more clearly if the decision-making flow were clearer in this district. And I want to take a step back, therefore. What presuppositions are operating in the district into which such definitions would fall? And if you remember, you board, although not most of you, but you board, last year changed the bylaws and stipulated a very hierarchical understanding with strong borders, and I choose that word intentionally, with strong borders in the hierarchy. And the hierarchy is between the directors and the general manager and all other humanity and creatures on earth. And given that, how you delegate authority is a very, very, very narrow understanding of the word authority and responsibility, because you have effectively delegated your responsibility as well as your authority, because there's no way that anybody has oversight except in the elections, of course. I want to be clearer. How you adjusted the presuppositions of this district in the face of how that general manager operated means you have now set yourself an agenda that, unless changed, will be as stiffly hierarchical as Joseph Stalin had. And that's extreme of me to say, but I firmly believe it after all these years of watching what happens. I've talked with staff of the CCSD. You may not do that. Remember your bylaws. You may not talk to them, unless they eventually have to appeal everything to you. But since you do not talk to staff by law, according to your regulations, you do not know how the staff is feeling because they're too afraid to go to you, usually to appeal. And so we have a hierarchy that is really the antithesis of democratic participation and transparency. You can tell, I could go on for another 55 minutes until my lecture time is over at the university and fill you in on all the details. I don't want to do it over coffee simply, although I accept your invitation, President Pearson, to talk about those things over coffee. But I would like us to have more substantive discussion in this environment, with all the people watching, I hope, since there are only 11 of us public here. I would like more discussion here in this community about what it is we're presupposing about the district, how much we care about 15% water loss. I'm the only one who talks about it regularly. let's get some talk going. Maybe we should ask Mr. the former director if he'd provide us some free soda and beer.
Thank you. Mike Lyons.
I'm waiting for the beer. I have every confidence that you five, as our elected representatives within the community, will come up with the very best person out of those that are candidates. I do not accept the idea that any other member of the public, no matter how much they think of their own abilities to discern the right person, should be involved. Confine it to yourselves and any professional consultants that you might hire to do it. Keep in mind, though, that you're not building a robot. We're bouncing back from a couple of failed, if you want to call it failed, general managerships, and it's unfortunate that some of the attitude is coming into this room today, because we've had so many comments about the past, and that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the future. So I don't think you're going to find the perfect person, but if you, the person you select, be sure to realize that there's going to be a period of adjustment. That person has to learn how to interact with you, and you have to interact well with that person. Give it time. One thing I don't want to see is that any GM that you hire, this is a highly skilled and highly paid position. I would really not like to see a person who agrees to this kind of a job, who is by nature a good manager, shackled by the rules and regulations of a board that may be overreacting to the past. So live and learn a little bit, relax a little bit, watch, trust but verify, and keep in mind that any general manager who you hire worth his or her salt would react pretty harshly to being overly managed or micromanaged. Keep in mind that the board members, you, are only volunteers. You can't be there all the time. You can't hear every conversation that goes on. I keep in mind that when I was in a meeting with Jerry Gruber, he described meetings that he was having with the Board of Supervisors, the planning departments, Erlen Singelwald to be exact, and at the very same time, the Coastal Commission. And this was all about trying to work through the SEIR application and to find out how compromises could be made about the effluent pond, just particularly to that subject. You couldn't possibly stand there and listen to everything that was said. You couldn't possibly program that general manager with what to say. So you have to learn to trust that person, supervise, but don't try to put every word in that person's mouth. The couple of things that I thought might be interesting that you want to look at long-term and have a manager look at, be interested in long-term, is an excellent suggestion by Christine Heinrichs, who has made it a few times, about the zero carbon emissions goal that our community should have. So I would think that you should ask any candidates, do they have enthusiasm about this idea? Do they have experience about this idea? Along the same vein, there's quite a movement in the community about setting aside some spaces for bicycle trails. And in as much as it could happen on CCSD property, that person, the general manager, should be able to coordinate with the bicycle community to be able to provide safe bicycle lanes. I would also say that the goals that I've heard today about forest management and water conservation are excellent, and those should be, you should have some sort of idea about the attitude of the manager. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Ms. Richards. Followed by Christine Heinrichs again.
Leslie Richards, 30-year resident of Cambria. Two things that came up that I found interesting I wanted to focus on. The term trustworthiness and honesty. When I worked in Los Angeles, I worked as staff supervisor for Niederlander Corporation's Pantages Theater and Greek Theater, and I had to be able to assess trustworthiness and honesty in 3 minutes flat with all the students that I hired for my facility. And one of the things I did during that experience was to do background checks, historical data. And information from these individuals can be confirmed from where and when they came. So I'm a history buff. Your name or your reputation usually follows you from job to job to job. So that was one of the ideas that I was going to suggest is the historical record of these individuals is critical mass. It to know exactly what happened at their previous placements, what good or bad. And I also want to say, side note, I know that we are going in a new direction, a positive direction, and I look forward to the next 4 years. I think that we have a wonderful board here, and I think we're going to be very effective in this process, and I appreciate being allowed to be involved in this process. Because unlike other individuals in this community, I myself have not been allowed to be involved in this process for 4 years now. I haven't had private meetings with our past general manager. I tried to have discussions, and you know, there are certain groups that were addressed more readily than other groups in this community. The activists were not encouraged to actually come forward and discuss. So I love the fact that we have this venue today, and I really appreciate all staff's time and energy and what the board is doing opening this dialogue. This is fantastic. So I'm happy. I hope you're happy.
Thank you.
The other thing was the public face of the district. Prior to Tammy Rodock and Jerry Gruber, Vern Hamilton was our general manager, and he did a good job, but he wasn't going out and going across the state and going to the Coast Commission. I mean, he was the face of the district, but it was the directors of the CCSD that were the face of the district. So this idea of this individual who has to be both the manager of the district and these eight and all these different departments and also has to go out and represent the district, well, I think that's the role that the directors are involved, should be. So I agree with Mr. Howell's statement that the public, the face of the district, are the five board members that we voted onto this panel. And we're not hiring someone to go up to Chase Dean Flores to Sacramento like Mr. Gruber did. I mean, Mr. Gruber was very active as the face of the district and was very involved in different agencies, maybe not to our benefit. In fact, there was a trip he took 2 years ago where he was handing out resumes, and we were able to get copies of his resume, talking about how he had completed the entire EWS project and was a complete success. That was what he was advertising to these agencies in Sacramento, and I'd be more than happy to give you a copy of that, Mr. Pearson, which I have in my file, from 2 years ago at State Water Resources when he was up there with Mr. Flores. So not to beat a dead horse, I apologize, but I'm just saying that there should be new thought on this idea of face of the district, the public face. You are the public face, in our opinion, not the GM. The GM responds to you and only to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Christine Heinrichs.
Thank you. Again, well, you know, I find myself actually supporting things that others have said. Elizabeth makes a very good point. The previous GM was very high-handed and really boxed the board into a very narrow place of not being allowed to talk with any staff members about any subjects, which is obviously in a small district practically impossible, as well as very restrictive. So I think that that really needs to be very seriously reconsidered in terms of what person you're going to hire and what that responsibility is going to be. If you're going to leave it that way, you are, as Elizabeth said, delegating both your responsibility and your authority. I'd like to thank Mike Lyons for endorsing a zero carbon footprint for Cambria. SLO is on its way there. California is on its way there. We really can and should be leading the way. And Harry, about your concerns about honesty and trustworthiness, as Leslie was just saying, this is really part of the board's due diligence in researching the candidates as the list gets shorter. You can look online, you can request documents, you can find things in print. Certainly, that any past record that any candidate has is going to speak very clearly, I think, as to whether this is a candidate who's going to fit in well here or not. And certainly, as you explore that, I'm sure you'll find those answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you all for your comments, et cetera. I've written down lots of notes. Director Howell.
Just to respond a little bit to some of the comments that were made. Regarding the face of the district question, I really do not feel that it is the general manager's job, nor should it be, to be reporting to any local group what his or her participation was in a regulatory meeting. That is information that should be presented to the board. I do not believe, as I said, unless it is given to everybody in the community. So I do not believe that on our dime, a general manager should be part of a program for any local group that has a particular interest, if the intent is to report on what the regulatory organizations are doing. That is not their job, and members of the public are paying that person to go out and spread information to which some members of the public may not be privy. So I think that's highly inappropriate. I would like to address this question of hierarchy a little bit, though, because, if I can ask the public, perhaps, I understand the necessity for the current modification to the bylaws. So I would ask two things. One, from District Council, is there anything that can be done to make that at least appear to be less restrictive than it now is, because it really does appear from the outside as though it's basically an attempt to insulate the district management from any, and the district employees from any interaction with the public. And I'm not sure that that's really what is intended. And then the other thing, one moment, the other thing is if I could have perhaps Ms. Bettenhausen come back up and perhaps make a suggestion as to what kind of an organization she would envision, or anyone who's having this issue with this hierarchical arrangement, what kind of an organization they would suggest which would meet the requirements, that the legal requirements that we have. And in other words, what I'm trying to get at, is there a way that things can be more open? Maybe there is not. But I'd like to have it very clear to everyone as to why that is, if it is.
Absolutely. The policy that was adopted last year by the board could be retooled to be made less restrictive, so to speak. There's flexibility in there, and you're the board. So if that's the direction that you want to go, of course we can modify that particular bylaw.
Yes, Director Stadell.
I guess some of it has to do with interpretation. When I read that language, I don't necessarily read it completely as no one can speak to anyone within the staff community, but rather that the approach needs to be made through the GM. Because the GM is the individual who understands the total workflow of the staff and of the district services. And so personally, that's what I do. If I have something that I need to discuss with the finance manager, if I have something that I need to ask of the district clerk, I'll drop a message to the GM and say, hey, I'd like to, do you have any problem with me? I'd like to get together with so-and-so and discuss this particular thing. It's a simple thing to do, but it helps keep the GM in the cycle of the demands that are being made on the staff. And I think that's the important part of what the intent of what looks like a protectionism against any kind of anything touching the staff. It isn't so much that as it is being able to safeguard the staff getting pulled different directions by different people and not knowing how or who to respond to on things. So my suggestion is, I don't know whether somehow the language could be crafted in some way to help define that, if my presumption is correct. I don't see anything wrong with having to channel it through the GM so that they can use their staff's, they can use the staff's time in the best possible way and not put the staff in the position of having to say no to someone because they're too busy, you know, or that it reflects badly to the public because they're responding with a no.
Yes. Yeah, may I respond a little bit? Yes, I do agree. There definitely needs to be a chain so that I've been in a situation where if you have multiple, no one, no man or woman can serve two masters. It's just not, it cannot happen. But given that, I feel that the original language actually, as I interpret it before it was changed, did provide that. direction. So I would like to, if I may, suggest that in a future meeting, and not too far in the distant future, that this particular bylaw be brought back for further discussion and possible change. It's the bylaw that I don't remember the number of it, but
I believe it's 7.2.
7.2, so that if 7.2 could be discussed and possibly changed.
Since we're bringing the bylaws back to this next meeting, perhaps we could defer formal action and you could look at that issue there. And I mean, that's certainly an option. So maybe we can look at it in that context. Or maybe not.
It's up to you. I'm trying to consider the fact that there are certain things in the bylaw changes that we have coming up in at the next meeting that we want to get done. So delaying that would not be the best thing. But at the same time, I have no problem with trying to relook at that particular paragraph. And if you would like to try to craft new language, go ahead and give it a shot. And I'd be glad to look that over with you at some point in time, too. And we could run it by council before we bring it up at the next meeting or whatever.
Yes. Okay.
But I'm good with that. Yes, you were called to task, Ms. Bettenhausen. Yes, you may.
I thank you, Director Howell, for that question because I want to describe something briefly. When I went to work in New York City on the staff of a national organization, I immediately went to meet the janitors, because I knew that was the base insight into the organization. In the course of my conversations there, I also discovered that the secretaries were getting paid dramatically unfairly, all women, and so that was the next step. At the bottom of the hierarchy is where you should look first. I have that experience also teaching in the university. I'm looking, Director Howell, at alternative ways of interpreting the system. And if I started with the janitor at Boston University, I knew immediately what was going on in the president's office because the janitors all talked to each other. When I have most recently talked with CCSD staff, they said, "We're sure glad to see you because we never see any of those people in the administration or the board." They feel neglected. And they didn't say, "Oh, please, go away, we've got work to do." They said, I won't tell you what they said, I'll paraphrase it. They were extremely happy to spend a few minutes describing the reality from their perspective. I think a general manager who is adept and qualified would applaud at that point and say, "All I'm here to do is to manage the interactions so that we get our work done. And if the board talking to the staff facilitates that, hallelujah, sweet Jesus and Buddha, let's do it." But this way, the presupposition is that there's only finite time. We can't talk to anybody. We have to do our work. I disagree passionately. And so I hope when you take up the bylaws again, you construe it not to address the mismanagement that you previously had with that general manager, but you ask yourself the question, how do you as a board of five directors understand how the CCSD works from the people who have to look at the water meters when they dig the mud out from the pocket gophers? That's the question.
Thank you.
Sure.
Sorry. I couldn't agree more with what Ms. Bettenhausen has just said, but just in a couple of instances over the last 8 years, I have had occasion to speak to some of the staff. And one staff member told me that the prior general manager had never set foot in the wastewater treatment department for 5 years. He said he sits up there in his little office and doesn't come down and talk to us. But I think another problem has happened where staff has been afraid, maybe with the last two general managers that I can speak to very well, but where they don't feel comfortable. They don't think that they're going to be really listened to, or if they are, that nothing's going to be addressed. So where does that staff person go? How do they get their concerns addressed? And there have been multiple issues. I'm not privy to all of what goes on in closed session, with personnel issues, but I have seen the issues that have come up on the agenda, and I've seen the expenditure reports paying for legal help with issues that have come up, and also to find out that staff years ago was out on post-traumatic stress syndrome for weeks. We've had others that have either left or been in the same situation. That does not speak well of a general manager who is managing his staff, and I will say his and or her in the case of the prior general manager. We don't want to see that anymore. We need transparency, and if there is difficulty and there's a situation with staff, it really needs to be addressed. And sometimes the general manager isn't just always the one who should be able to take care of, but not always able to or unwilling to. And that's where I think the board has to make. I would really urge that this particular bylaw be in on the bylaws that may be being considered for change at the February 28th meeting. It's very important. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Everybody good? Oh, Director Rice.
Just two little things that I want to add to let people know how my thinking is. I agree with most of what you were talking about with leadership and authority, President Pearson, and I appreciate you speaking to that. Mr. Lyons spoke to not overreacting to the past, and Director Steidel said something that was, I think, something nuanced but bears repeating, because she said that the way that she interpreted the bylaw was different than the way it was being interpreted by other directors, and that maybe the original language that had been there and not this lengthy, because it's to memorialize a specific relationship between the staff and the GM and the board, and that's an important thing to be paying attention to. And so going back to the original, and the way that a prior general manager interpreted that, or either original or the new one, the new one could easily be interpreted to be more permissive than it actually had been implemented prior. So the language does matter, because that's how we get things done and how we know how we're supposed to get things done. And I want to just quickly speak to Dr. Bettenhausen's mention of the decision-making flow. The decision-making flow, since I've been on this board, has been a little bit backwards sometimes, to say the least. Sometimes it's been forward, but the way that we make our decisions and the way the information flows is really critical to a smoothly and operating and a successful district. So making that process clear, in that we get information from the staff after something arises that we need to address as a board, because it's not within the general manager's operational authority, then we have to take a look at that information. And sometimes the information we get isn't going to be quite complete, and sometimes it'll take things longer to get done because we're waiting to get the full set of information that we need to make a good decision. Because that's one of the things that I've been looking for since I joined this board. Let's get the information we need to make the appropriate decision based on the values that the board has clearly, hopefully, stated, and the vision that the board has helped work through and put in place. And all of that stuff has been tossed out the window for a while, and I think that there's going to be some growing pains, some differences as we change over to a decision-making flow that makes more sense for the structure of the agency as it is. So I'm hoping that that decision-making flow and that process will become more clear, hopefully, through the policy committee at some point, so that it's clear for both staff and for the board. Thank you.
Good. All right. I'm going to move along here. First of all, I want to let everyone know that we do have 21 resumes currently. Some of them are excellent resumes. At our closed session this afternoon, we will be looking at those as a board. We are not going to make them public because many of these people have existing jobs. and they really don't want their current employer to know yet, okay, that they are seeking other employment. They want to remain employed if we don't choose them. And unfortunately, some employers would let them go if they knew they were seeking other employment, which is, in my opinion, not fair. But in any case, we also got cover letters from most of these applicants, as we asked them to do. And to answer some of your concerns, almost every one of them said in there that they were looking for a new challenge to forward their career by getting more responsibility and that kind of thing. They're not leaving their last post in most cases because they failed at it or they're tired of it or whatever. They're looking for a new chapter, a new direction, and forwarding their career overall. So I think we've got some outstanding resumes, and we'll be taking a look at those. As far as the interviews go, hopefully we will start those soon. Currently, I think the feeling of the board is that we will have interviews consisting of a group of all of the board members, certainly, and a number of the people on the staff. Those preliminary interviews will take place over, my guess is, the next month or so, and we will then come up with some finalists. At that point, that's when we may be able to share with the public who they are and have some sort of introduction to the public at that point. Discussion by the board on interviewing and where we are. Also, the interview questions that were in there were just some of the ones that I made up that are from my past, had been very helpful, and I just put them in there as examples so that we could get the board talking about what kind of questions we wanted to have and what we were able to ask, and that's why the staff put in some of those questions that we are not allowed to ask, which is really important because you can get in a world of trouble legally if you ask the wrong questions. Any discussion by the board at this point on the interview process or where we're going? Dr. Howe.
So after a short list has been, I think, so we're talking the preliminary process is to create a short list. It wasn't clear to me, we're contemplating once we have a short list of involving some of the public, or where are we on that?
I think that's a discussion in closed session.
Good,
thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Certainly.
This is just for legal clarification, but I would assume that because Mr. Ogren is sitting here with staff, that he has not applied for the position, as I think it would be rather untoward for him to be here and have him also applied. So I'm just making that assumption, and maybe you can clarify that for the public and for maybe the board members. That would not seem appropriate at all, so I just want to be sure.
It looks like Mr. Ogren would like to clarify.
Okay.
And it is a public meeting.
Yes.
That's what I was going to clarify. Earlier we had Mr. Steve McGraw, who was here and spoke to the fact that he was a prior general manager of a special district. I'm not privy as to whether his application is in the group or not, but I think the president made the appropriate comment that all of the applications at this point in time are confidential.
Mr. Ogren, you're sitting here and you're being paid by the CCSD to work 24 hours a week. I think that puts you in a little bit to a different situation. And Mr. Carmel is shaking his head. No, I would think that. I'm just wanting to clarification because this would seem a rather odd situation.
If I could, just on a follow-up, you know, certainly I have an existing employer right now. Certainly I am interested in what is going on at Cambria CSD. I would certainly have the right to be able to apply for the position. And in due course, if I am or am I not, that will all come out.
I noticed on your agenda for Oceano tomorrow night in closed session, there's an item, general manager slash engineer, and that is another reason why I asked the question, too.
And that is correct, too. And even prior to the district hiring me in my current temporary part-time position, I made sure to communicate with my board on an ongoing basis in terms of my status of employment or possibilities.
Because your contract is through July 2020. So, I mean, I think this is really important. You are sitting here. You are being paid through on the CCSDS staff. I think that's something the board should be well aware of, and I would hope that there's legal clarification for this. It seems untoward if an application has been submitted by Mr. Ogren. Thank you.
And, Mr. Board President, I would also point out that your acting general manager, who is sitting here being paid by the district and participating in this process, also has every right to apply for the permanent general manager position.
Correct. All right. No other questions or comments from the members of the board or... Oh, Vice President Farr.
I just want to make a comment here, and I don't know if this is pertains to what President Pearson just said, but one of the... He and I met... You know, for a short while this morning, and with regard to the interview process, we're going to be obviously not just all five board members, but the chief plant operators from water and wastewater would be involved, other members of staff, the fire chief. So I think we're going to have a very well-rounded representation of the people in positions of responsibility at the district. Being involved in the interview process to really ascertain the levels of knowledge or lack of same that the interviewee would have. I would also like to say in a different vein, and I think it's been pretty clear, I know I've said this before, here we are, it's the middle of February, and this board has been in operation for about 2 months. I think it's fairly obvious that obviously, and this has nothing to do with this board necessarily, but the word in my popped in my mind earlier was acrimony. Whether it's the board or whether it's the audience, and that energy is pretty much gone. The level of eloquence from the board, the level of eloquence from the public, which has kind of always been there. We seem to be nourishing one another now, and it's just a really hopeful feeling. And my hunch is that this is the kind of energy that we will be resonating when we interview the potential applicants, and will be representative of the type of person we'll ultimately choose. So that's how I feel. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for your comments. Director Rice.
On a more feet on the ground, pragmatic, detailed foundation, how is the interview process going to be structured? Is the board going to decide which staff members should be part of a panel? Are all board members going to be on the panel? Is this something that the board is going to approve that shortened list, and then we do background checks? I'm looking kind of for some pragmatic next steps and what decisions the board needs to be part of, because we can't have this kind of discussion unless it's a public meeting. So I wanted to know if we have anything in that direction, like what decisions does the board still need to make about the interview process? Do we need to pick board members that are going to be part of it? Or is it all the entire board going to be? And then I think it becomes a public meeting if it's all the board members. But maybe not. Maybe because it's personnel, it can be closed session. Okay, so I'm getting a nod for that.
Yeah, we'll be in closed session.
So
those preliminary interviews that we do would be in closed session.
Okay. So are there any other decisions that the board as a whole needs to make in order to move the process of interviewing forward?
Prior to the closed session, I'm not sure.
Okay.
If anyone wants more discussion on that before we go into closed session, I'm willing to have it. but I think that we might have a report out of closed session at the meeting on the 28th as to what we were thinking about and maybe a discussion at that point. I'm not prepared to have that discussion at this point. If you guys are
no problem, ready to go. I have no problem with that answer. I just wanted to know if we had anything.
Okay. Then I adjourn this session to our closed session in 5 minutes.
You gotta have that to complete the set.